Hi, how you doing?
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There's something
better. What are you doing?
Mariah Carey joins us today on the Tasting Tone podcast.
I don't even love that song, but guess what? I heard it, and now it's in my brain.
Now it's in my brain, too. Thanks.
I'd rather... I wish it was Wham. I want Wham. That's my Christmas kind of jam. Wham. Right there. Yeah.
Which is the, did Wham do a Christmas song?
Last Christmas?
What?
Last Christmas and
Christmas
my heart.
Song. I can't think of which song that would be.
I mean, I think
Last
Blake
Christmas.
Just
okay, I'm gonna watch this. You guys, keep going.
There's no way you've not heard this song. It's impossible.
He's listening to the advert. He's got advert face on.
Yeah, he's got.
He's
hearing an ad right now.
Premium face on.
I forgot about that song.
I mean, it's played in...
Okay, yeah, it's not my favorite.
That's a good song.
This. So let me firstly tell you this, Bri. There's a game that we play in this country called Whamageddon, which is you're out of the game the first time in December that you hear Last Christmas. Luckily, as we record this, it is not yet December.
It will be when this goes out, though.
It will be, but Brian cannot force me to listen. Mind you, he can. If he was to insert it and I was uploading, oh no, what have I done? Oh,
right, yeah, if you're watching a video and right in the middle, bam, there you go.
Fun story about that track. Okay, so Wham was George Michael's band before he went solo and was, you know, globally huge.
Are you going to tell the story about how he gave all the money for that song to?
And I'm going to just tell the story that Blake's just told you.
You told this story every year. Every year,
well,
about this
time.
Well,
it's the season for giving. And I'm giving you the benefit of my leaky memory. I thought I had. The fact that Brian started this whole episode off with, you know, I've never heard of Wham's Last Christmas. You'll be telling me next that you've never heard Wizard or Slade's Christmas hits.
I have no idea. I think you're making up things now. I've never heard of that at all.
Richard, I feel like I'm in the Matrix right now. Then the Matrix is glitching hard because I know we've had this conversation.
Was this deja vu from last year?
Man.
But yeah. I'm like, nope. All I know is Jingle Bell Rock by Bubba Helms.
And when we're going to tell the story about how he lives in the town or lived in the town, Martinsville.
Yeah,
I'm in the Matrix too. Yeah. Brilliant. Thanks for that, Blake. Yeah. You've snapped us all out.
Am I predicting the future or has this happened before?
What is the future if time is just a construct that we've created ourselves, though? You know,
it's a flat circle, right?
Again. Just going to say, I think he's had a sneaky toke before the episode. How dare he?
It's a Christmas bong, so it's fine.
It's a Christmas.
Bri, we've got to release Jingle Bong. That's what we've got to do. We've got to release our very own Christmas. We could get Snoop Dogg to do it now that we've discovered that
Oh, that's true. We could use the AI voice changer stuff.
Yeah. So something very big's happening tomorrow, Bri. What's happening tomorrow? Do you know? No, you're not. I could have said something really bad there. I chose not to strategically. But it definitely involved your doctor.
That's Friday. That's Friday. Yeah, we got to get the old plumbing checked out on Friday. Yep, sir.
You.
Tomorrow would be the 7th of December, Bri. That is the release day of a certain something.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It is. Are we allowed to talk about it one day in advance?
Should we talk about
it? Well, I mean, think about it this way, guys. It's definitely been leaked by now.
Yeah, say somebody's leaked it by now.
Yeah,
I mean, I've already seen a leak that I hushed up. So
I've had the actual pedal sitting on an amp for the past 4 months in my videos. No one has said a thing.
Whoa. That's impressive.
And it's weird because it looks sort of like a Tumnus, but it's got red knobs. And it's silver.
Oh, this is like when Fender did those red knob amps, right?
What? Yes.
Yeah.
It's just a It is a solid state Fender amp clone.
Ah, yes. Sweet. I love the evil twin. Let's go.
I'd like to imagine you have an evil twin, actually, Blake.
According to Chris Benson, who lives in the same town that I do now, he sees me everywhere in this town, but it's not me.
So maybe you do have an evil doppelganger. That would be really amazing.
I didn't believe it. I was like, I'm not that common. I mean, I'm very oddly shaped. There can't be that many people that like walk around looking like me. But then my sister said the same thing. So apparently there's a lot of people that look like me.
I had heard someone comment that you're one of the few people who was able to dress up like you were like a set of fluffy dice without actually having to change your physical appearance too much. Is that unfair of them?
I think that's fair, actually. That's about accurate. Yeah.
You are the most cuboid man on the planet. 110% pure beef and Portland cheese somewhere.
Just cheese. Yes, powered by cheese. That's me.
So the new pedal we've released, is that powered by cheese, Brian?
It is powered by cheese, mostly cheddar.
From like Wisconsin cheddar? Are we talking an Oregon cheddar? Like cheddar, what kind of
comes
cheddar?
Comes from cheddar.
Well,
white cheddar.
I can't tell you all the secrets. You know,
we've been friends this long, and you can't tell me what kind of cheese.
Cheddar.
I want to know the cheese.
It's very high end. You know.
So, without giving too much away, there's a specific component inside the new pedal that we release tomorrow that I had to see for my own eyes because actually it's a through-hole component and not a surface mount component.
Oh, so that's where the tone is.
I was like, how do these guys do that? Because I've never seen us do that before. And I guess it's kind of like when Brian writes about modding an SMT pedal. You know, it is doable. Kind of sort of feels like it's been done here because this has got a couple of very special through-hole components on it. But I took it apart using my plastic plug spanners, I think. Rocket sockets, they're called. They're really useful. And I took it apart in very quick time. And that made me think that I was now qualified to build JHS Nauticlons for a living because I've disassembled a pedal. It's basically the same deal in reverse, right?
I think you should offer a service where for $100 you will assemble people's Nauticlons for them and send it back to them.
I think that's fair. Would be amazing. I would like to do that, but I don't think anyone bought it for that. It sold in phenomenal numbers. I mean, it sold so much that JHS have now had to do some kind of pre-order system, and people are not going to see like the last of the current pre-order batch until March next year. That's like, this is going to make Analog Man mad. This is his business model here.
Stay away from my business model, Josh.
I'm the one with the wait list around here.
That's right.
Look, it is a terrific piece of marketing and a great idea because, as I said before, it's a wonderful Christmas gift idea. But I'm seeing people flipping it on Reverb for like $350, $450. I've seen. I think I probably saw one that was above six at some point.
But is anyone actually buying them?
Well, I don't know that. And I'm sure anyone with a brain won't.
Buying the flips, I mean. Of course, they're buying the actual unit. Yeah.
But also, you do wonder how many people look at things like this as a, can I flip this and make some money opportunity? And that makes me sad.
The first thing I saw was like a kit that was not, it was still like in the package, like $600 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. I mean, I get it, but for crying out loud, man, stop messing with my Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Stop it.
Yeah. Stop giving us pedal builders a worse name than we already have. And trust me, our names are pretty bad.
Oh, I do my best to sully your name at every opportunity.
I hope mine personally.
Yes, yours personally and specifically.
Excellent.
With your home address.
Mm-hmm. I feel gratified by that one single fact. So yeah, I took the new pedal apart.
So we're not going to tell them what's releasing tomorrow then? We are.
It's not my decision to make. I'm not allowed to tell them.
Oh, fuzz we
face.
Can.
It's not a fuzz I mean, face. It's not a fuzz face. British fuzz face. So, no.
So tomorrow, if all things go well.
Now, hold on.
If things go as planned.
Hold on. Uh-huh. Hold on.
Yes. Yes.
You got a button for this.
I do?
Yeah.
Which button is this?
You know, the breaking news.
Oh, hold on. Okay.
It'll be jazz or crickets. Why is it always is?
It's not working. What is it?
Oh.
Hold on. Okay. It wasn't working.
Okay. It's working now.
Is that it?
I don't know. Hit it.
It's my media player. There we go. There we go. My media player is just like, it is looking at me and giving me a certain digit that is in the middle of its hand.
So this is an unofficial. What is this? This is a world exclusive, regardless.
World exclusive.
Here we go.
I decided to release a buffer.
Not just any buffer, Bri.
That's right. Well, any buffer. This is a bufferless buffer.
If you keep the gain down, and it acts like a buffer, right?
It does have a buffer inside of it when it's off. That is true.
I should probably say, so Brian,
I'm not lying. That is there.
Brian, don't take this the wrong way, but you're really hot.
I try to take care of myself.
No, I mean, your mic is really hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is going to, I am. Ooh. That would have been handy to know about 30 minutes ago. But
I was trying to figure out if it was just me or, and then I heard some distinct clipping sounds and I thought, just me.
It was hot all along. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, here. Yeah. Got to give me some heads up. Anyways. All right. So we're coming out with a new Tumnus tomorrow.
Ooh.
A new Tumnus. A silver Tumnus.
A silver Tumnus?
But there's more to it than that.
What?
So this is going to be, people are going to get angry over this because internet does what internet does, right?
Sure.
So it was thought in the past that there was a certain amount of diodes that were in the original clones and they were completely gone. Funny thing, whenever you kind of get to know people in different parts of the world and they know people that know people that know people, sometimes you can find more of those diodes. So we found more of the original Klon diodes with the certain, has a very certain voltage threshold there, or a certain clipping threshold there. And those are the ones that are in this silver Tumnus.
No. So
that's really interesting to me, Brian, because the diode in question is a 1N34A, I believe.
A certain type of one. You can find 1N34As.
So that's what I wanted.
You can find them.
Yeah, that's what I want to get into. There's something special about this particular batch.
Yeah, well, I mean,
or this
germanium diodes are funky. So, like, I have 1N34As that are, the tolerance is all over the place. Like, some will clip very differently than other ones because of like the tolerance and the batch and the brand and all this other stuff that goes into it. So these particular ones are old stock and they have the voltage clipping threshold that we need for that Klon circuit. And there's only a limited number of them though. So like we just have one big batch that we have. So this is not going to be an ongoing pedal that we'll sell. Basically, once they're out, the pedal's done. We'll still have the gold Tumnus, but the germanium Tumnus will be no more once we're out of these diodes.
Until I go back down to the mines of Moria and dig up more of these special diodes.
Well, so the problem is that we the first batch that we made, We hadn't even released it yet. Just with retailers, we sold out in like 30 seconds. So we
three had to seconds. Make another batch. Let's make it more impressive, Brian. We sold out in 3 seconds.
So like literally, we had none to sell direct at all. Mm. Like all the retail. In fact, we couldn't even sell them to all the rest of the retailers. But now we have a problem with retailers wanting more, and we're building them as fast as we can.
So
we're trying to supply even more, and we haven't even released the pedal yet.
I'm going to add to that. So we do have stock available on the website, but it is probably going to be the lowest number that we've ever had on a release date. So you will need to get
normally
in
there it's like
quick.
Unlimited. This is like not we'll the just, situation.
Yeah, that is not the. And the reason it has sold out is because and I've hinted at this very strongly in previous episodes. Everyone we have sent this to has literally been on the phone to us like, this is the greatest Klon pedal I've ever paid. And I've been like, don't tell that to Brian. His head's big enough as it is, but sure, why not? But meanwhile, Brian has been riding around Martinsville on his golden tractor, like literally displaying his wares to the peasantry. So it is a fantastic sounding pedal. Now, I was a little bit, I'm not going to lie, Bri, I was a little bit skeptical at first because the Tumnus sounds amazing to me. The mini Tumnus has not been off my board since I got it. I was like, that surely cannot be improved upon.
There's a reason for that too, though, because that's another situation where I wanted a certain clipping threshold on those diodes, even though those are not germanium.
No,
those are silicon.
They're silicon diodes, right?
Yeah, but they have a certain clipping threshold that we wanted to make sure to get that, because that's a big part of that overdriven sound. Like once you change that clipping threshold, you start changing like the distortion amounts and how it feels and all kinds of stuff.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why the Tumnus is such a great pedal, but more importantly, why the Tumnus stacked into a Tumnus germanium is a thing of wonder, Bri. Have you tried it? I'm sure you have.
I have, yes.
It is rather toasty.
I prefer a Tumnus in a bell stacked together.
Oh, it's the classic combination. Which do you go, Tumnus into bell? That's how I normally go.
Honestly, like the perfect situation, I didn't do this in my gig because I didn't want the extra stuff on my board, but a perfect situation is Tumnus, Bell, Tumnus, because I like both. Sometimes I want that Bell to be last. Other times I want that Bell to be first because it's two completely different sounds.
I mean, if only I could convince you to build me that in a single pedal, Bri, I'd agree with you, but until the day you do, I'm going to disagree.
I can take three pedals, zip tie them together, and sell that to you. Excellent. Same thing.
Well, you know what I can do? I can get a load of cheap Russian diodes, paint little red bands on them, and send them off to you and say that these are special clipping 1N34As.
Oh, that happens. That happens a lot. I mean,
it happens all the time.
You find fake diodes all over the place. Fake everything. Fake op amps. Fake all kinds of stuff.
So. I got 10,
speaking of analog, man,
wardrobes.
He points this out all the time. He's like, "Oh, here's another fake." Like, not necessarily of his pedals, which I mean, those exist too, but literally fake parts that'll show up.
Yeah, there's a big market for that stuff. And it really sucks because I've even heard people buy them from. Buying them from like Mauser or DigiKey, which is a very reputable parts company, and come to find out it was a fake product. I mean, they immediately refund. They didn't know. They immediately refunded.
They basically got tricked too.
Yeah, they got tricked too.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, this is a huge problem in the electronics world.
Yep. Which is, you know, for guitar pedals, it's kind of like, I'm not trying to say that it's okay. It's definitely not. But it's like the consequences are pretty low.
Yeah, there's bigger things to worry about.
But what if you really needed a specific part that was very, very,
in a piece of scanner?
Medical equipment or something, and like you mistakenly got, you know, because supply chains are what they are.
Time travel machine.
Like, these things happen.
Yeah, you don't have you don't have the LM308 op amp for that time machine, and so now you're stuck. You know, you traveled, but you're stuck. You're stuck.
I'm stuck. Oh no. I've traveled back and I'm stuck exclusively in 1979. Oh, wait, that would be a dream come true for you guys, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That would be okay. Well, some other stuff, but.
Yeah.
Like actually,
being
mid-80s.
4 years old mid-80s. And, you know, 4 years old sucks, Bri. I'm just going to remind you of that fact.
Yeah, that wasn't great, but, you know, I guess I'm going back to like mid 80s, you know, when the Bones Brigade were a thing.
Yeah, when mid to late 80s, right? 86 onwards is the glory years. That's the glory years for me.
Caballero and Tony Hawk and Mike McGill and
Tommy 88 Camaro. Specifically was the best year, actually, as far as I 87. If you look in the history books,
that was a banger.
88's the best year. It's okay. Verifiable scientific fact. No, it's the best year. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. The world changed after that. Let's just put it that way.
For the worse.
Quite a bit.
It became less spherical and more cuboid. Can you imagine if you're actually born a cube? That would be weird. Right. Enough of my strange ranting. So on the back of the launch, I happened to be in the town of Guildford, England last week. May have, you know, gone to visit some cars, let's just say. And I went to visit the captain himself at Anderton's Music Shop in Guildford, where we had a very interesting chat about the industry. He is super bright. I don't know how often you've spoken to him. I know you've had dealings with him for a number of years, but he is a super bright guy. Really interesting.
Yeah, he is. Great businessman.
But also knows his gear so well.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't mean that's not a derogatory term.
No. Yeah, 100%. But, you know, enough about the boring stuff. He's got the greatest collection of guitars in the UK in that shop.
Oh, he has fantastic. To, right? Yeah.
Oh, they've got a special room out the back. I think they refer to it as the gallery, and it's where all the custom shop stuff is. I'm telling you, boys, I've never seen a wall that you just look at it and it makes you smile. It's a wall of smiling. That's all it is. So,
people. Not even like the Pink Floyd wall does it make you smile?
Not really.
Really?
I mean, it did when I saw it the first time in concert. I'm not going to lie. Because I saw, I think, 2011, Roger Waters redid the wall, and the graphics that they did the special effects of the wall with were amazing. Blew my mind. Kind of like the first time you go to one of those like rides at Disney. Have you been on like the Simpsons ride or the Spider-Man ride at Disney? Where you're basically, or Universal, you're strapped in a car that moves around, but you're not really moving. And it's all like visually moving. You're in like in a giant, right? Those sort of rides are amazing, but only the first time. Because the vomit second time,
comments, as some like to call them. Yes.
I don't think they're the same. I think that's generally roller coasters, Bri. These are not quite the same, but the second time you go
it's motion sickness without the motion. It's fantastic.
Well, there is a bit of motion. It's very cleverly done. They are the first, like the Spider-Man one. Ah,
the Spider-Man one's awesome. Yeah. Like the Harry Potter one is awesome, but you actually are moving on that one.
Yes. Yeah. The E.T. one, not so good.
Rest in peace. The E.T. ride's no longer there. I liked when E.T. would say my name when I came off the ride. I missed that. I wish that was still a
very
thing.
Awesome. The wall was just graphically fantastic. But back to the wall at Anderton's, Brian.
Anderton. Mm-hmm.
I think I do need a gold top Les Paul in my life. Vintage, relict gold top Les Paul.
Yeah,
I don't think anything looks as nice as checking on a gold top. It's just special.
You know, Jake Young from Man the Helm podcast, one of our executive producers, actually, he has a great gold top Les Paul. Very nice.
He does he? I wonder if he'll trade it for a silver Tumnus Deluxe Special.
I thought you were going to say a fine Harley Benton.
Well, that would also be a very sensible trade, Jake, if you're listening. I think I see one of those in my future. I don't know. They're kind of expensive. But yeah, Anderton's is amazing, dude. Their pedal display, and kudos to the guys there. Funnily enough, I spent most of my time talking to a guy called Ollie, which was weird. At the end, he goes, "Sorry, what was your name?" I'm like, "Yeah, people also call me Ollie."
I am Ollie as well.
We are both Ollies. But
we're Ollie squared.
They're wall and they're all squared.
No, I'm the squared.
He's cubed. No, oh, we're cubed. Square. He's right. Cubed. No, their display of pedals is beautiful. It's in a giant glass cabinet. It's like, you know, if you go into like one of those really expensive hotels in Dubai and they've got those giant aquariums in the middle, like a whole column of the building. This is like that.
I've been there. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Last time I was in Dubai, I think we're at a guitar center there, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when Logan Paul flew me out to see his fight. Yeah, I was there. Yeah, in Dubai. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been there a lot.
You know what I mean. You don't have to pretend like you don't spend your weekends hobnobbing it with the Saudi royal family. We know you do. It's pedal dollars, Bri. It buys a lot. No, it's a great shop. People in England, I mean, it's very dominant in England, and its online arm is pretty much my favorite, I think. I quite like Guitar as well, and I buy from all of them. I feel kind of bad. As someone who works in the industry, if I don't support all of the dealers in my country equally, I feel a little bit like I'm biasing them. So I do go to all of them. But honestly, Anderton's is right up. It's fantastic.
Anderton's has done...
Guys.
What I think Anderton's has done really well, they do a lot of things really well, but the amount of content they've made and how good it is over the years, there's very few other retailers that even come close.
That is the thing that, you know, I spoke to about, and I did meet up with the mighty Danish Pete, of course, but we shared a brief hug, and then I went elsewhere and didn't see him afterwards. But, you know, I think Lee would be the first to admit that the thing that's special about their show, and I think it's special about every show I love, is the chemistry between the two of them. It's real, it's natural, and it makes for an interesting show. And, you know, I'd like to think the same was true about this podcast. I'd like to say there's a certain chemistry between us, a bond, if you will. But the reality is I'm just a massive idiot. Well, you're supposed to deny that.
Oh.
I thought you were just admitting it. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
It's chemistry, yeah. Right? Their chemistry works. And, like, they've got an infinite supply of content. Because every day, something cool comes through the door, which has got me thinking, Bri, this is what's wrong with our current video production strategy. We're not buying enough new gear, Bri. You need to up your gear game.
What are you talking about? I just bought a new tube screamer.
You did?
Yeah.
Why?
A new tube screamer?
Yeah.
Who made it?
What is it?
An actual...
Ibanez 808, yeah.
A regular Ibanez? Why?
Can't have too many tube screamers.
You can. Well,
obviously.
You can. You can.
It's Black Friday, dude.
One.
You can't have too many tube screamers.
I'd
like to have a sensible debate with you about this, but I actually just totally agree. If you got a good deal on it, I would have bought. I very nearly bought a DS1. I saw a very cheap DS1. I was like, I really don't need a DS1, but it's like half price. So
I do have a Love Pedal Dover Drive on the way as well.
Pretty excited. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. That actually brings me really nicely onto the last point of my notes today, which is finding your guitar's voice with the right amp speaker. Now, it's a sensible subject because actually, you know, speakers make a huge difference to speaker cabinets, funnily enough.
Of course.
Probably more, now this is controversial, than the type of wood used, but I'm just going to put that out there. However, this company, which is, I believe, an American company, has made a whole range of speakers where it appears to have used the names of British cities and towns for their speakers. So I'm looking at the Birmingham 1275. What's that going to do? Just be really nasally and whine? Premium UK content. they've named one here after Liverpool. I mean, you put that in your speaker cab, turn round, and it will be gone. Premium UK content.
Well, they have one here that's... I mean, unless there's an Austin in the UK, I'm assuming that's Austin, Texas, which is basically just wannabe Portland. Just throwing it out there.
No, so they do have American ones. They have the Boston, the Minneapolis, which are American voice. and they've got the British voice Leeds and Glasgow 1050, which is a speaker made entirely out of deep fried Mars bars and broken bottles of beer.
This is some good UK content here. I like
premium
this.
Premium UK content.
Have we mentioned that this company is called ToneSpeak?
No, I like them already.
Now we have. Now, this is interesting because I think there are some items that are easier to sell in the guitar world than others. And I think speakers have to be right up there with strings as far as things that are going to be difficult to get people to take a chance on. So kudos on them for giving it a go. I'm curious about these for sure.
Kind of a cool little side note. I just was going down through this article on Premier Guitar. Our own John Satella, Elmo, if you will, is doing a demo of them.
Well, there you go. Look at that.
How about that?
I mean, I hadn't yet got there, Bri, but you beat me to it. And I'm just going to go back to what Blake said. Whilst I take the mickey out of the name because I am not premium UK content, I absolutely love my speaker cones. I'm a huge speaker nut, so I will be interested in seeing this. But yes, did you notice, Bri, who was demoing these speakers?
I think it's Elmo.
I think it's our very own Elmo.
I think it's Elmo. Guys, I think that's Elmo.
I think he says something about the hemp cone speakers being a bit too dark. I'm just going to say there are other things that you should be doing with your hemp.
Dank. It's not dark, it's dank. It's
oh, that's dank. A good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Snoop Dogg would agree.
You need to try some. We don't talk about him and his,
I wonder
his
if they have,
lying ways.
Like, do they have indica and, what's the other string?
Sativa?
Sativa.
Sativa. They have, like, is that how you, like, one is warmer, one is a little more percussive? Like an indica hemp cone?
I mean, I think that's a great, because who is it who made that hemp back?
Eminence,
that's the one I want to talk about, yeah. So I think that's a great idea for marketing. They should just be weed speakers. Like, they already make Bob Marley, like, speakers and headphones. Why don't they just go the whole hog and make them out of weed entirely?
Oh, so technically, since this is still illegal federally in the States, because...
Is hemp illegal?
So that's what I'm asking. Would these be technically possibly illegal?
If hemp is made from the male plant, which shouldn't get you that high. So if that is the case, that may be a way around it. I say shouldn't.
Industrial hemp is grown to not have THC, is my understanding. Therefore, it is legal. But
yeah.
Industrial hemp and... Yeah.
There's no THC or a very small amount?
It's a very tiny amount.
You can't... It won't get you high, let's put it that way.
Oh, it will. You have to have a lot.
Well,
but I do believe that is where the
origin... I stand corrected.
Said the man in the orthopedic shoes. I do believe that's where the phrase, put that in your pipe and smoke it, came from.
But okay,
I may be completely wrong.
It is legal. So hemp is legal in federally in the States, from what I can tell.
So are you spying the business opportunity? I am, Bri. Brian Wampler's high cones. That's what we need to make. Speaker cones that are in
this
different...
This tumnus is made of marijuana diodes. That's what...
And then we just sold these items to nobody but fans of the band Sleep.
You're into your speakers as well, Brian. You like swapping them out in your amps, don't you?
I do.
Just do it, you know, by kind of like, I don't like this, this speaker will sound better, or do you look at specs and do you kind of size up, the response on this is a little bit more what I'm looking for, and then whack it in, sellotape it together?
I do not really look at specs anymore because it's kind of like looking at specs on guitar pickups. It doesn't tell you anything until you put it in the guitar. Sort of the same thing with speakers. So there's, like, for example, There's certain speakers that I'll love in a Vox, like let's say Alnico Blue or something. Love it in a Vox. Not so crazy about it in a Marshall or a Fender.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Not so crazy about it. But, and so like, so that's how I look at all this stuff. Like this, like for example, what's it in the Bravado? It's the Greenback 60s, which works great in that amp with that cabinet. I've used that same speaker in other cabinets with other amps. I'm like, sounds a little flat in this situation with this amp. And that happens with everything. Like Greenbacks is another, I love that speaker. And believe it or not, with Fender stuff. I think I put Greenbacks in Brent Mason's. Is it Greenback or might have been a Greenbrae from WGS? I forget now. But anyways, that's basically a Greenback as well.
I am a fan
and it
of
sounds Greenbacks. Great with a Fender amp.
Yeah, I know. So
and great in Vox amps too. Back.
Yeah, my guitar teacher he's got like an old school Soldano SLO-100, and he bought an EVH cab with it. But he was only happy when he changed. I'm gonna say GTX 1275, but I think I've got all of those numbers and letters in completely the wrong order.
It's not a GTX.
I can't remember the name of it because it's just a load of numbers and letters, and I don't remember that.
Yeah, I forget.
You know the speaker I mean, though, right? I can always Google it.
The G12 T75.
Is that the one? G12 T75 is one of them. Yeah.
So that's a speaker
Luke
that
Skywalker played with in Star.
The G12 H75 is a Creamback, by the way.
Yeah,
which is I think Friedman uses a lot of those. I think.
So it's funny that we're talking about this because I've had a lot of cabinet conversations outside of this podcast lately. One, I discovered that the cream-backed speakers in my Orange 212 that we've talked about a bunch are not cream-backs. They are indeed cream-backed. Cream-backed, but they're actually green-backs.
Was there an accident? Oh, they're green-backs.
They're green-backs. So they're orange-labeled.
Cream-back.
So they're orange labeled. They say orange on them, but they're made by Celestion.
It's confusing now. Your greenbacks are actually creambacks, but they're orange. That's three different colors all in one. This sounds like a Mexican tortilla filling to me.
Yeah, so they're cream colored, orange labeled, not with no orange the color, just orange the brand, and they're actually Celestion greenbacks. Pre-Rolla. So it was kind of a weird discovery to realize that. But it makes sense because I've got creambacks in my my Silvertone Twin 12 cabinet. And I've always been like, these sound nothing alike. These are completely different speakers. It turns out they are. So,
that solves that mystery, kid.
Yeah, solves that problem.
I mean, it's just, you know, when I picked up my my Soldano, and I think the 2x12 I've got the vintage 30s in them, and John was like, you're not gonna like them. They just don't sound right with the Soldano. You know, with the SLO-30, they sound fantastic. For me, it's a great sounding speaker. But I do
feel it also depends on the cabinet too. That's such a huge cabinet makes so much of the sound.
And they're big cabinets. The Soldano vertical 2x12, there's a lot of air inside it.
Right.
It's almost the size of a 4x. Yeah, it's, you know, the width of the thing is 2 feet. So it's almost a 4x12, but not quite. You could probably do a 4x10 inside it comfortably, right? I think some speaker playing is in order. Yeah. Interesting idea, Bri.
I also, on this same subject, I had an interesting chat with Barry from Grez Guitars, another one of our executive producers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys are aware, on top of making guitars, he is like an actual certified acoustical consultant, like a real acoustician. He doesn't just hypothesize about things the way I do.
Like all of us on this podcast, you'll say.
Exactly, yeah. I asked him about, there's not a ton of people that have your knowledge of acoustics and your knowledge of woodworking. Have you ever thought about making a guitar cab? We're going to talk about it a little bit more, but one note he had is he said, what's interesting is from a like studio monitor or audiophile perspective, all the guitar cabs that we love and the speakers are garbage. Like, from that perspective, they don't actually function well from an audiophile perspective.
Yep.
But it's a tone that we've come to love and appreciate as players.
Well, that defines vacuum or tube amps in general.
I mean, yeah. It defines everything guitar.
Everything.
Fuzz guitar. Pedals, distortion circuits. Yeah. It's all the result of things going wrong.
Things that are broken are good. Yeah, no, I mean, I've got some, you know, nice high-end audio speakers, and the difference between them and what I've got inside my guitar amplifiers is crazy. What I've got inside my guitars is nobody's business.
Is it legal?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
In Oregon, it is.
Oh, that's really interesting. Everyone's good at so many things these days, except me. I'm terrible at everything. What I am not terrible at, apparently, is X-rated and can't be discussed on the show anymore. But riffing on you the other day, Bri. On a forum, I think it was the JHS forum.
Yeah,
accusing. I think the phrase was something like, "I don't want to rag on them too much because, you know, it's all a bit of fun."
Oh, I do. This person literally made a profile just to shitpost.
Oh, really?
Literally just.
I didn't know that because he said something like "chasing tone, more like chasing Josh," and I was like,
"He said that I need an original idea of my own." Which
is why we are introducing the new Germanium Tumnus from and why Brian's just bought a tube. Listen, fella, whoever you are, let me school you on circuits. Power goes up and signals come out, and there we go. Is that enough? Did I school him?
I mean, it's people confuse the pedal business with the pedal playing. You know, and it's, especially if a person's starting out like building pedals, like, and I did the same thing, which is I'm going to make everything is going to be completely different. You know, I'm not doing any clones, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you start figuring out my job is not to build what I want. It is to provide what people want.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to look at it. I'm going to look at it as if I'm not in the industry here and look at it how I kind of saw it as a customer, which is I don't care as long as the pedals sound good, one. And two, out of all of the pedal builders, I would say Wampler have had some of the most kind of original pedals in a certain gain realm. Yeah, we're not known for making, you know, the world's biggest array of modulation pedals or whatever. Certainly in terms of gain, whenever I, you know, even like meeting the staff at Anderton's, they were like, dude, I had the Pinnacle like 8 years ago and that changed everything for me. You know, these are quote unquote original circuits. You know, there are no original circuits unless you reinvent batteries, essentially. But the reality is you have created your own completely original circuit, and guess what? They sell less than the ones that are kind of based on a topology because people don't want to hear something completely new. Sometimes,
well, it's like
sometimes
Blake will remember we came out with the Leviathan fuzz years ago.
Oh, right, I missed 10, that pedal
11 years ago.
Yeah, I missed that pedal.
And the number one question every time people are like, is it a fuzz face? No. Is it a big muff? No. When are you going to come out with a big muff for a fuzz face? I'm like, this is an original fuzz.
Yeah.
But I like big muffs and I like fuzz faces.
That was when
the wheels started turning like, oh, I need to make something that's more big muffy or something that's more fuzz facey.
We need to just take that clip of Brian saying, I like big muffs. And we need to just overlay that.
I like big muffs. They cannot lie.
I also like big muffs. I also love the Leviathan, and I would like to live in a world where that exists again.
It was a cool fuzz, and it was totally unique.
Mm-hmm.
You what? You mean you copied it off Josh Scott?
No.
Or Robert Keeley? Or insert person here?
No. I mean, that came back. It was breadboarding me plugging in, like, what happens if I do this? What happens?
There was
if I
a certain
that?
Amount of irony in that guy's comment for me, because again, I don't know anybody at JHS or Josh, and I don't really care about the history of any brand as much as a lot of people seem to. But there were certainly accusations in the past of Josh doing nothing other than copying other people's circuits and repackaging them, which, guess what? It's kind of fine to do too, because the repackaging is a big part of creating something new. So, you know, I was like,
good Lord, I mean, what's the best selling compressor of all time? Probably the Keeley. What is it? A Dynacomp?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, like, is it tweaked?
What's the best selling fuzz of all time? The British King of Fuzz's new fuzz face, of course. Oh, God, you haven't heard it yet?
Come on! My media player is slow today.
Well, before the British King of Fuzz,
you're gonna dig this one.
Offering of through-hole components. Do not bother him with SMT. He will reject it and throw your families in the dungeon.
No, to be fair, I no longer reject any form. Seeing how neat we got these diodes into our SMT circuit made me think, I am going to start modding. But check this out, Blake. So I'm selling a car, and I had some spare parts for that car, including some little wheel badges, which I have now stuck
nice.
On the pedals. And the pedals are painted in the colours of that brand. So I actually have, like, a whole series of fuzz pedals made by me that match somebody else's brand, which I commercially could never sell because I would be sued. However, they are now incredibly rare and unique, I'm just going to say. Yeah, that guy can go do one, Bri. How dare he pick on my friend Brian? That's our job.
Well, I mean,
only I get to do that.
Yeah.
All this stuff kind of boils back down to, like, people are angry. And it's kind of sad to watch from afar, because, like, you can, for someone to make a profile simply to say hateful things says way more about that person than anything else. So, like, I immediately think, oh, God, what's this person going through? To go through that trouble just to be a dick.
And it comes to what's been said before, you know? The greatest way of apologizing to someone is always simply to say, I'm sorry that you feel that way. Because that kills every conversation dead. 100% straight away. Like, yeah, I am sorry that you feel that way, but I'm going to carry on making awesome pedals. And I love...
Oh, and it's funny, it's because, like, I mean, I don't... I think people think that all of us pedal builders are, like, in this war. And it's like, we're not, like, I got that love pedal, but I traded Shawn Michaels. I traded him a pedal for it. Like, we're friends.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, like,
hold on, wait a minute.
We're all friends in the pedal
right,
business.
Did you say...
Us, except for...
Did you say we're not in a war with other pedal builders? Because if that's the case... I better call off that drone strike I just called in on Keeley's headquarters. I got the wrong end of the stick there, Bri. Sorry.
No, yeah, I love Robert. He's a sweetheart.
By drone strike, do you mean an order of, like, pizza delivery? Or, like, what did you send there? Was it Jimmy John's? They delivering sandwiches?
The new Thorpe FX pedal, the drone strike. Because all of his pedals are named after, like, military things. The drone strike wouldn't be a good name for a pedal. I'm just going to put that out there right now. Yeah, there is no there is no war between pedal manufacturers. Did every single one of us in the industry look at what happened with the Nauticlon and go, that's a really interesting, neat idea, and I'm annoyed that I didn't think of it myself? Well, 20,000 pre-orders, i.e. $2 million worth of revenue, tells me, yeah, we probably all did. But so what? We've all got other businesses that we're dealing with. And also, why haven't we been sent on? Do we have to wait till March to get them? So yeah, that was a weird thread though, Bri. But you know what wasn't
strange,
you know what wasn't a strange thread? The Christmas version of the Biscuits and Gravy song.
I saw that.
I did not.
It was what's it, Toast and Toast and Moose, is that the band name?
Well, all I'm saying is you need to make some Christmas music now, Bri.
'Tis the season. Maybe you can give us a countrified version of Wham.
That's true. You know, that's
not a bad idea. Bri, that is a genius idea.
Mm-hmm.
That is a genius idea, Bri. Come on.
That is a pretty good idea. I don't have the stems for the Wham song, though.
I can sing it to you. If you need to get the stems, is come to England and go to any public house at about 11 o'clock in December, and you will hear many people singing the song, various renditions, in every one of the 13 different keys.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yep, you can pick your key. You won't even have to worry about like it being in the original.
You don't need
there'll be some
tuned to
drunk
key.
British person giving you the whatever key you need.
All right, let me give a shout out to our executive producers today. Let's give a big shout out to Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tindall, Knight Haas, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson, Vidar Frosted, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, Patrice Fournays, Dylan Talks Tone, Scientific Uppercut, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, Felicity Who Makes Annoying Memes, Tom Kelly, Jake Young from Man the Helm Podcast, Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, Jordan from Poison Noises, Nick Spagno, The Twain Kings, Sasha Sir, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Harry Post, Grumpy Mike, Harvey Petals, Allison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, Bum Laser, Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, Philip Carter of the 40 Watt Podcast, Mark Bowman? I think it's Bowman. Christopher Logan. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for listening to the Chasing Dome Podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.